This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
We'll have a complete recap of the two nights of WrestleMania in Philadelphia. Peter was there, so he can talk firsthand about what goes on. That'll be...
Oh, I will.
During ENN. Also, we have voting now for Drop Madness. The championship is being played, and it doesn't look good for the old grifter, as Don looks like he's running away with it. Am I right, Anthony? I know you're monitoring this closely.
Yeah, it's going to be tough for Griffin to come out of this one. He's going to need a couple timeouts. Going to have to reconvene on his defense.
Hate to hear it.
You know what?
Don's running away with it.
All right, it's time now for the Pinstripe Report, brought to you by Samwell Institute for Pain Management. The Yankees have the best record in baseball. They're tied for the best record in baseball with the Pittsburgh Pirates at 8-2. So a great start for the Yankees, and they still are not doing everything right. Judge is still hitting under 200. Stanton came alive on Saturday and Sunday. Hit a big home run yesterday. I mean, the sound that the grand slam made off the bat was just amazing. And so they take 2 out of 3. They've won their first 3 series. Now they have 3 against the Marlins, who finally won a game. They were the last winless team. They finally won a game. They beat the Cardinals yesterday. So they come at 1-9. Thursday's an off day for the Yankees, and they head to Cleveland, and after that to Toronto to play the Blue Jays again. So the Yankees have been doing okay. Their bullpen's been great. And when you watch it on a daily basis, again, they're not clicking. Verdugo's hitting under 100, but they continue to win. I think the bullpen has a lot to do with it. They should have blown out the game on Saturday. They ended up not doing that. They let the Blue Jays get back into it, where they had to use their closer and Ian Hamilton as well. Yesterday, they held off the Blue Jays again. So all things considered, pretty good. You can't get too high or too low, but they're doing this without their best pitcher. And they're doing it without Jonathan Loaisiga in the bullpen. Somehow they're getting it done. Don, there are worse things than starting 8-2. So the Yankees are in a pretty good position right now.
Yeah, absolutely. There's nothing to complain about. There are things you'd like to fine tune. Like that would have been a tough loss yesterday.
Yep.
Had they coughed it up. But now listen, the Blue Jays are a team that's a rival. You've taken care of 2 out of 3 after getting shut out on opening day. The defending National League champions, you beat them 2 out of 3. You swept the arch-rival Astros. I don't really know how a Yankee fan can complain.
Oh, let's open the phones and find out.
We certainly can find out, Don.
Like I said, I don't see how, but they will come up with something because they're not undefeated, not going to go 162-0.
But you play 800 baseball, you have a good chance to win a division.
Yeah, an outstanding chance. And again, the Red Sox are off to a good start, but is that sustainable? You know, we'll see.
Trevor Story's out. Could be a long out. He hurt his shoulder.
It's a long season. Ebbs and flows. But, you know, we got a long way to go. And there are going to be struggles, and there's going to be slumps. But I can tell you one thing. I know Judge is going to hit more than 200 on the season.
Yes. Probably hit 300. He'll be fine. That is the Pinstripe Report, brought to you by Samwell Institute for Pain Management. For pain-free life, visit samwellpain.com. today. All right, let's take some phone calls. 1-800-919-3776, and we'll go to Nick and Queen. Start it off, Nick.
Nick, hey, how we doing?
Good. How you doing, guys?
Good. Sorry about before. I had gotten disconnected.
That's all right.
What's up, guys? First off, I wanted to say, Don, I'm with you 100%. I believe the Garden's going to be an absolute frenzy this postseason for both teams.
We'll see if it's going to be 94-esque, because I don't know if the Knicks are a team that can win a championship, but I think they both can go far, and it's been a long time since we can say both of these teams, you know, made it out of the second round.
Well, I think they definitely energized the crowd just off of the friendship with the whole Villanova thing. So that was just the starter. The main thing is Anthony Volpe. I got to ask, do you guys not believe that he's the X factor for this team to go far?
You know, I didn't look at him that way, Nick, coming in. I thought that if he performed the way he did last year, obviously that would be good enough. You want him to hit a little bit more. But if he's a 300 hitter and he gets on base as much as him getting on and then continues to play gold glove defense, that's great. But I didn't look at him as an X factor. I looked at Nestor Cortez and Colon. Rodon. I looked at those guys as X factors. Those guys were really important. They had to play well. I thought DJ LeMahieu was really important. A lot of people thought Stanton. I didn't see that because I think they have people that could replace Stanton if he doesn't hit. Anthony Volpe saying he's an X factor, obviously it would give them so much more latitude with other things if he hits over 300 and gets on base 35% of the time. But I don't think he's going to swing it whether the Yankees win a World Series or not. He could help them be better, but I think the guy, I think those two pitchers are really the most important. I mean, Cortez has to pitch better early. Let's see what he does against a Marlins team that hasn't been able to score. And Rodon, I think, has pitched very well in the first two games. Those guys, to me, are X factors.
Now, but if you want to look at the postseason, and that's what Yankee fans are looking towards, it hasn't been the pitching, it's been the hitting that has disappeared. So could he be an X factor in the postseason where it's another bat, it's another threat? But not in the way that it usually is with the home run. You know, a guy that can get on base, he can steal a base, he can hit for average. I mean, yeah, if you're going to get something out of that position, that would be pretty special. Then, because you know what you're going to get out of Judge, and you know what you're going to get out of Soto, but with not knowing what the situation's going to be with LeMahieu, that yeah, I guess he could be an X factor at least offensively.
How about this? This just came in. The Iowa South Carolina Women's Championship game averaged 18.7 million viewers on Sunday.
What?
It peaked at 24 million. Peaked. 24. Viewership up 89% and 285% from 2022. 89% from 2023. Most watched basketball game, men or women's, college or pro, since 2019. Most watched, more than the NBA. And it is the most watched sporting event since 2019 when you exclude football and the Olympics.
But it's at that level, though, isn't it? She is a phenomenon. And usually that's reserved for, like, the Olympics. Because the Olympics draw people other than sports fans. Because when you look at the grand scheme of things, Michael, and you have to take football out of it because the numbers are unbelievable. Like, sports doesn't do all that well compared to other things on television. But when you get something that seems to transcend, like football, like the Olympics, where you just seem to just get more eyeball, get people the average. This seemed to captivate everyone. It had to go beyond sports. So when
it's
you
unbelievable.
It's really, I guess, just about her, right? If it's up 89% from last year.
Something's happened. Like, it's hard to even fully qualify. Like, as good as she's been, and you understand an increased level of attention, don't you think, Michael, it's like almost like something else has happened? Like, as a result of her being, like, this perfect storm of the LSU-Iowa rivalry from last year, the controversy between Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese, leading into this year where Caitlin Clark becomes, like, the female Steph Curry. But then it all sort of, like, a domino fell. And it's like, it's even more than that now.
It's going to be interesting, Peter. I think it's a great point. Like, but she's going to be gone next year. So is that interest going to shift over to the WNBA? Are they going to get bigger numbers than they've been getting?
Or will
a guy like Paige Becker, or a girl like Paige Beckers, will she be able to carry that kind of interest level
in college basketball?
By the way, I don't know.
By the way, or is it both? Do we see an increase next year in the WNBA and the women's college game?
But what's interesting is that whenever we've seen these kind of phenomenons, whether it was the Women's World Cup, like everybody was watching that, right, when they won the whole thing. And
right.
Then, you know, women's leagues started after that, and they never seemed to have the same attention because it lost its cachet, right? Like, moving on to the pros, there's something just special about what she's doing here. So if she goes to the WNBA, are fans going to be as interested if there is a transition period where she's not breaking records, she's not scoring 50 points? Like, what if the pundits are right and she does struggle early on because now she's going up against professionals? Are people going to tap out in that transition? So, it's still got to be a little bit of a bump, though, right?
You would think so, and I think it's going to really help the WNBA. And Angel Reese going up against Caitlin Clark, I think that's going to be a big deal. So maybe it carries over to them, and all of a sudden you see this exponential jump in viewership for the WNBA. Let's go to Sharky in Suffern. Sharky.
Hey, good afternoon, MDP. I want to chime in on Caitlin Clark.
Okay.
First of all,
I wasn't into college women's basketball at all until last year's Final Four, and then this year's, let's say, Elite Eight. Caitlin Clark in the first quarter last night, the most amazing 10 minutes of basketball I've ever seen by a man or a woman.
19 points, right, Sharky?
18, I believe.
18, okay.
In 10 minutes. Don't forget, 10-minute quarter. I don't think South Carolina is getting enough credit for an unbelievable... That girl Johnson, I don't know what number she was, she dogged Caitlin Clark in quarters 2, 3, and 4.
Yeah, she wore it down.
I've never seen anybody. And then she took away a jump shot, made her go to the basket, and who's waiting for you with the basket there? That big girl Cordoza, who played an unbelievable game, and the rest of the bigs in there. And the couple times when Caitlin Clark was able to dish off, unfortunately her teammates didn't give her a whole lot of help. I was fascinated. And South Carolina also, in case you didn't know, Michael, South Carolina is like 109-3 in the last 3 years. 2 years ago, they lost 2 games. Last year, they lost 1. And this year, they lost none.
You know what, Sharky? They've been so impressive, and Dawn Staley's their coach, that the NBA writer, I think his name is Gary Washburn, for the Boston Globe, wrote an entire story that the Charlotte Hornets should hire Dawn Staley as their head coach. That's how impressive a coach she is. Then everything's going to be, it'll be great, right? Then we'll really see. I think it's only a matter of time before there's a women's coach in the NBA. Why wouldn't they? A great coach is a great coach. So I think it's great for sport. It really is. Let's go to Jim in Little Neck. Jim.
How you doing, fellas?
Good. What's up, Jim?
A couple of quick points. I wanted to talk a little bit about the pitch clock, but before that, I wanted to make mention about Jerry Grody passing away yesterday. The quick story, I was a little kid, maybe 8, 9 years old. He lived in our garden apartment complex, had a station wagon, and about 10 of us at a time would help him bring his bags into the back of the station wagon. And he was just a really nice, nice man.
Wow, it's great to hear.
We're going to miss him. Anyway, in reference to the pitch clock, don't like it. Don't think there should be any clocks in baseball. If you have to do anything, use a pitch clock, not even a pitch clock, use a clock for the batters, because the batters more times than not are really what's holding up the game. Okay.
Well, why are you against the pitch clock, Jim? I mean, it's going back to the old days.
Yeah, I just don't like it. I think it changes the dynamic of the game. I think that you got pitchers now in their head thinking about, oh, I got to get rid of this pitch at a certain amount of time. It's not a natural thing.
But Jim, you realize that everybody was like really fearful that the pitch clock was going to come into play and it was going to end a postseason game with a pitch clock violation. I don't know if you realize this, Don and Peter. Not one pitch clock violation during the playoffs last year. Not one. They're handling it fine. Now, if I could change one thing to speed the game up even a little bit more, every single hitter now is playing with that timeout that they get. Every single one of them calls a timeout. That timeout, to me, would be taken away until the seventh inning on. All right, so when everything means so much, I know at-bats in the third or fourth inning mean a lot. Seventh, eighth, and ninth inning and extra innings, you get one at-bat, one timeout per bat. Every single batter calls a timeout now. In there at bat. It's ridiculous. It's slowing the game back down again. Watch Anthony Rizzo. Does it all the time. Mm-hmm. Watch every player. I'm not just jumping on Rizzo. Every player calls a timeout every single at bat. Too much. It slows the game back down. They're always ahead. They're always going to outthink the rules. And they've outthought the rule now.
And the hitter does call timeout. And there's no rule to bounce back against them outthinking the rule? That's just it?
Well, what I'm saying is the way you bounce back. Okay, you can't call timeouts anymore till the seventh inning. That would be my thing.
But as of right now, there's nothing in place.
Nothing. They just use a timeout. Let's say if it's a 3-2 count, they want to step out. They want to think about it, and it slows the game down.
Well, if every other sport has a number of timeouts, then why can't baseball? Instead of after the seventh, no, this is how many timeouts you get per game.
No, that's not bad either.
I mean,
if you can limit it, Don, to being unlimited, because right now it's unlimited. You get one per bat, but if every batter does it, you're slowing the game down. There's 18 timeouts. each time through the order. Let's go to Mark in East Elmhurst. Mark.
Hey, good afternoon, Mike, Don, and Peter.
What's up, Mark?
I hope everyone... Oh, I got something to go in on that John Heyman happened to. I hope everyone on who watched TV on Sunday can appreciate the best of the best that they saw. And I'm not talking about Caitlin Clark in South Carolina. I'm not even talking about Aaron Judge and Juan Soto at Yankee Stadium. No, Michael Kay, you were in the presence of greatness, the greatest umpire of all time, Angel Hernandez, to the point so bad that John Heyman actually tweeted out, quote, "This should be Angel Hernandez's last game. Enough already." I mean, that's pretty strong from John Heyman. And it was pretty bad. I happened to watch young Jack Leiter pitch on a AAA broadcast Saturday night.
How'd he look?
He looked all right. He had some command issues. But what I liked was that there were two of those pitch challenges.
Yes.
And the umpire got it right. Pitch was an inch below the strike zone, and it made me think, wow, great call. Might have been a strike. They did the challenge. Ump was right. It's a ball, like in those tennis games. Inch below the strike zone, great call. And then Sunday, we see whatever that was with Angel Hernandez. Like, and he's not the only umpire who's been bad with the strike zone early on, but I can't wait till we get this either challenge system or robo-ump.
Well, I don't think, Mark, you're going to get robo-ump. I think you're going to get a challenge system. And it works, and it's quick. It should be done within like 4 seconds. Batter taps his helmet. The umpire looks upstairs. Somebody looks at it like, you know, the tennis in or out. I forget what that system's called, and they call ball a strike. It's that quick, and then you have a limited amount of times that you can do it. Now, as for Angel Hernandez, we always joke about it, Don and Peter. Every time he's behind home plate, something's going to happen. He got into a back and forth with Luis Gil. Heel started it because he thought two pitches were strikes that were clearly not, and that slowed him down. Then he showed up Hernandez by walking up the mound as if it was a strikeout, and then Hernandez all of a sudden starts to he puts himself out there. The guy's been an umpire, though, for 34 years. And one thing I did find out, umpires love him. Like, he's true, he's loyal, he backs up everybody that is an umpire, the four guys that travel together with Angel, he will do anything for them, but he's somewhat dubious in calling balls and strikes, and he always seems to somehow foist himself on the game. I don't get why baseball can't stop it.
But to me, that's not a defense, because he's a good guy. I mean, so he's a loyal guy. That he's a bad umpire, Michael. I mean, I've heard fans complain about officials and umpires forever, but not to the level of Angel Hernandez. So he might be a good guy. He might be loyal. What does that have to do with him being a good umpire?
No, you're right. You're right. And he sued Major League Baseball for discrimination, saying he thought that they were discriminating him by not putting him in postseason games. And they ended up winning. He's not on postseason games because he's not good. His ratings are awful. And he always seems to foist himself on and become part of the story, especially when he's behind the plate. Especially when he's behind the plate. Let's go to Steve in Houston. Steven.
Hello.
Hello, Steve.
How you doing?
Good.
I'd like to get your guys' take on Scott Van Pelt, all the expert panelists, and Gino Auriemma's about the call at the end of the UConn game. I mean, weren't you disappointed in it?
In which part?
The moving screen one. I was disappointed I wanted to see how the game would have turned out if they got a shot. Paige Beckers would have gotten a shot. But I got to tell you the truth, Steve. I don't know if you agree, Peter. That was a moving pick.
Unfortunately, it was such an egregious foul, you had to call it. It would have been... I know that, you know, we get into these conversations late in the game. It's the end of the Super Bowl. Why are you calling pass interference there? If it's an egregious foul, you cannot ignore it and cheat for the losing team so they get the look. To me, the moving screen was bad enough that, Michael, I would have viewed it as cheating for UConn to ignore that foul. They had to call it. It was a full shove.
I think
shove.
People came into the game, though, Peter, thinking, well, they won Iowa in the championship game. So that's why that kind of colored their thought about the call. But if you look, if that call was made in the third quarter, you wouldn't even blink. It was an illegal screen.
Right.
But I didn't like it because I wanted to see how the game played out if Beckers got the call. Beckers ended up getting the shot, but she never got the shot because if she had gotten the shot off that screen, then it would have been an ill-gotten gains. She would have gotten open because of an illegal screen. But I understand, you know, what Gino Auriemma said, you know, there are illegal screens all the time. We have to teach it better. He said, but there were four illegal screens calling the game all on us. So I guess he felt a little put upon, but that was an awful way to end a great game. And talk about like people being interested in and it being the it thing. I sat there with Charlie and Callie. Callie never watches sports, and she was engaged. It was so much fun watching that game. And the vision and the passing ability of Caitlin Clark. Forget about the three-point shooting. She sees the floor, and she threads the needle with passes. She's an extraordinary player. So I can see why a lot of people tuned in around the world. What would you do? This has got higher ratings than the NBA. What if somebody said to Ryan Rucco, we'll give you the top NBA job, or you can keep doing this? He's getting more viewers doing this.
Yeah, but it would be interesting what's going to happen beyond Caitlin Clark. But I tell you what, the real winner's him, because when you get that many people to see what you can do.
Yeah, he was on CBS this morning.
And he is nailing it, too. The calls have been phenomenal. So, and listen, he's already in the number two on ABC and ESPN. And I think he was on the fast track of becoming the guy when Mike Breen decides not to do it anymore. But this is only going to accelerate that.
Yeah, it's good
for him.
Because
you get 24 million people on peak watching you. That's that's not nothing, man. That's pretty cool.
Peter, I know you have something to talk about with Dodge.
Oh, you know what, Michael? I'm so glad you brought it up because I have so much to tell you. Peter Rosenberg here for Security Dodge, Long Island Ram and Wrangler headquarters. Come get some if you're worried about inflation. Security Dodge is turning back the clock with this deal. Zero down, $199 a month. That's right. Inflation buster deal on a brand new 24 Dodge Hornet RT. $199 a month, 24 months, zero down. Go see Michelle Scalise during their Dodge Power Shot days and come get some.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Peter and Don to take you home over the next hour because of interesting Yankee scheduling. So we are off of television and we lose Michael K.
Ray Rowe.
Strange times.
I didn't want to derail the show. There was all these other things going on. And believe me, I said this to Michael, so it's not like, oh, Don's waiting for Michael to be gone. I'm just telling you, if the Mets had scheduled a game at 2 o'clock thinking it would be a good idea to have all the fans come in for the eclipse, and then we're told, no, it's dangerous for your players to be looking up into the sun if there's a fly ball, change the game to 6 o'clock, they would be completely mocked and humiliated for not knowing what they're doing. The Yankees do it, and nobody says a word. Why? And I'm not trying to be Met boy. I'm just saying, you know, Peter, in the time that you've been here, if the Mets did that, clown show. Yankees do it, and it's, well, you know, somebody finally had to tell them that it's not a good idea. So goodbye, good job out of them to change the time to 6.
Well, the only person who can change this, Don, is you. who's it going to be? You can't. The Mets aren't going to do it. Yankees aren't going to do it.
And listen, the Mets fan base is too loud. But it's just amazing how certain teams in this town get a pass and other teams get mocked. And a lot of it has to do with the losing, and I get that. But dumb is dumb, and it was pretty dumb that they were going to schedule a baseball game at 2 o'clock during an eclipse of the sun where you can blind yourself if you look up. Not bright.
No pun intended. 1-800-919-3776. Let's take some more phone calls. Let's start with Carl, who wants to get into a little New York Knicks action. Hey, Carl in Queens, what's up?
Don, Peter, you know what? Don, they were going to give the Mets solar eclipse sunglasses to play. That's why they scheduled that game. But first of all, let's go Knicks and Rangers, baby. Don, you brought up the question, if a win on April 7th tells you anything about toward the playoffs, I think it does. On both teams, specifically Milwaukee, Doc Rivers and his whole drop coverage, complete trash. Mitch and OG, specifically OG, did a job on Giannis in the fourth quarter specifically. If these kind of late games are any type of tell into the playoffs, we turned it on third and fourth quarter, and fourth year. And they could not handle it. I don't know if you remember. Quickly, I have a quick point. But in the fourth quarter, they hit 2 threes, and a minute and 10 left. Doc had his bench out. Normally, you'd let them run it 10 points in the NBA. But I tried to bring this up to you guys quickly. I just want to let this be known with Knicks fans. I think everyone agrees. Jalen Brunson deserves all NBA. I'm pretty sure if you guys can fact check me on this, I think it's positionless now. But there's only two. It's Luka, SGA. Then you guys tell me. I don't know anyone else, because that's we could hang our hat on Jalen Brunson being the best point guard in the East, top in the league, and we're waiting on the playoffs, baby. Let's go.
Well, I mean, listen, Jalen Brunson is fourth in scoring. Think about that, Peter.
Crazy.
He averages more points than Kevin Durant. I mean, it's pretty special. Now, and he does a lot of other things, too. But now, will he get consideration? No, because in the NBA, it's always going to go to the usual suspects, right? But he definitely deserves consideration.
Well, I think he'll get votes.
Yeah.
I mean, you're talking about this has been an obscenely good season, and a guy who, if he's not around, this team is just, I don't know what this team even is. How would he not at least be mentioned? Giannis can't really be in the conversation this year. I mean, it's an insane year for him again, as always. I mean, 30 and 11 is kind of just what he does. And that's wild. By the way, Giannis gets 6.5 assists a game, too. But this team, I just don't see it happening for Giannis this season.
It doesn't feel like it. Now, what I said was, I'm not going to sit there and go, well, the Knicks, they beat the Milwaukee Bucks, so they obviously would win in a 7-game series. I think things are different in the postseason, but the Bucks are a bit of a mess. But even all that said, it's a mess that still has them as a higher seed right now than the Knicks. Now, a lot of that has to do with the injuries, but they're not getting Randall back. So we'll see. Listen, to me, it's Boston and everybody else. I mean, clearly, you look at the standings, Peter. It's not even close. The Bucks are the second seed, 15 games behind Boston. So really, you could talk about how close the Magic, the Knicks, the Cavaliers are to the Bucks. It's a lot closer than the Bucks are or anybody else to the Celtics. It's really flown under the radar to me. Maybe not to you because you're a Celtics fan. And maybe because we're kind of used to the Celtics being good. I mean, 62-16.
I know.
That is by far the best record in the NBA. By far.
But I told you, a 795 win percentage, that's kind of why I'm not excited about the playoffs, Don. It just scares me a little bit.
But the NBA is the one sport, maybe not fairly recently, but that usually honors the best teams in the regular season. I know Miami made a run and you know, all the things that happened in the bubble. We'll forget that. But for the most part, it may not be when we can basically pen in Cavaliers, Warriors in the final a few years ago. But this is the one sport, more than any other, that honors the best teams.
And Milwaukee, we all agree, is not regular Milwaukee. They do not feel like Milwaukee of old. And Doc Rivers has not taken this team to any better place than they were in prior.
What kind of hit would Doc's coaching take? Or maybe it's already taken it, but would this be a kill shot if the Bucks are one and done in the playoffs?
Oh, man. And what the hell would they do?
What would they do?
They already completely upset the apple cart. You going to do it again?
I mean, are you going to say he didn't have a training camp, give him a full season? They might do that. But it obviously didn't work. He was supposed to help the defense. It hasn't helped. And he's already had a reputation of, you know, blowing 3-1 series leads and not getting the most out of his teams outside of what he was able to do in that championship season with the Celtics. And then he takes over a Buck team, and they get bounced again. I mean, they got bounced early last year. Get bounced again? Yeah, it's... Listen, that's their problem, and maybe it's something the Knicks will be able to take advantage of.
Back to the very busy phones. ENN coming up at 6. Let's go to Nino in Connecticut.
Hey, Don. Hey, Peter. How are you?
What's up?
Hey, man.
Hey, a couple things before I get to my point about Caitlin Clark. Don, the earthquake was a 4.8. The eclipse happened on 4.8. And there was an aftershock at 4:08. Just want to put that out there.
So what? What is four? Like, how is that correlate into something 4:08? Because that's got to mean something, right? What does the 4 and 8 represent? Is it 12, Peter? Is something significant that happened 1-2? Like, we got to follow it. We'll keep an eye on it. It is kind of a coinky dink, but we'll keep an eye on it. I'm not mad at that point.
Pretty weird.
Yeah.
I'm in Connecticut, and Husky Mania is definitely a thing here. This is the only big league team we really have. We have no professional sports. So the state pretty much shuts down, and everybody's setting up in their front yard. There's parties everywhere going on tonight. It's going to be buzzing, and let's go Huskies. So the reason why I called is this Caitlin Clark hate that Pete's talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And, Don, I got to side with you. I mean, you got to be able to break it down sports-wise now that it's getting the notoriety and the popularity that it has. But the hate that Michael was saying that Diana Taurasi was giving, it's not really hate. It's basically UConn's been doing it for so many years under Gino Auriemma, but now that the spotlight is on the game, they're basically saying, look, we've been doing this for a while. Let's see it translate into a professional level. I don't think they're really hating. They're just saying, look, we've been doing this. Let's see what she got at the next level.
I think it's analysis. I mean, but I think that everybody is so caught up in the praise that any kind of negative analysis feels like that there's some sort of an agenda. And the thing, I didn't see it, Peter, but I'm getting a lot of tweets from people saying that overall her comments were positive. She just threw in the one, hey, it'll be an adjustment when she gets to the pros going up against professional basketball players. So you can make a case that people are picking apart the negative. What was it, all got to be positive?
No, that's fair. That pointing out that, it may be a little bit obvious to point it out. Like, of course,
I don't know that. Here's why I don't know that, Peter. Because you have a lot of people parachuting in. When you get 24 million people at its peak watching, they can't all be diehard sports fans, right? What percentage of those people watching are just going to assume that when she gets to the WNBA, she's going to dominate? Because if you don't follow it enough, you may need somebody to tell you, hey, pump the brakes here. Those WNBA women, they're terrific at what they do, and they're professionals, and they're seasoned, and they're older, so she's going to have an adjustment to make. There's nothing wrong with educating the public, because when you get that many people parachuting in, Peter, not everybody's up on sports.
It's fair. Listen, I don't think that specific one from Taurasi sounds problematic, but I do think there's been a little bit of pushback. But by the way, even the pushback, it's not surprising. When someone gets this much constant hype and praise, there's going to be a little blowback.
It's human nature.
That's how it is.
What do we call
it? I mean, LeBron's been getting it his whole career.
Right. Well, somebody's got to be that guy, right? There's always got to be some outlier that's going to say, wait a minute, but what if this, what if that? I just think that just comes, it's sports in general. You know, we're not just going to sit there and just take what we see. We want to analyze it. We want to dissect it. And does it come from sometimes a place of hate and jealousy? Of course. But sometimes it just comes from, hey, this is how I see it.
Now, Don, I see on the line that we have a haiku rebuttal. Is it time to move on from the haikus? I don't know if I can do it anymore.
This would be entirely your guys' fault, by the way.
No, I take blame for it. I think we ran with it. I don't have a problem with it, but you know, we did it kind of without Michael's permission to make him the official haiku guy on the show. But Trevor should have his rebuttal, and if you want to say this is it and let's put an end to it, I'm good.
Let's see how this goes, Trevor.
Hey guys, before I begin, I just want to say I love all the callers, including Ken. I feel like this is the only show where you can have fun bantering and keep some jokes. So I'm just gonna say it real quickly, and then I'll be gone. It begins like this: Hey Cheetos fingers, get out of your parents' house. Go scratch. Not a match. Thank you so much, guys.
That was solid. And now I'm ready to move on.
And never hear it again.
I've had my full. You know, we sit down, we have a nice dinner, we're anxious about it, we waited all day for it, and then at some point you're like, all right, I'm done. I've had my fill.
I'm no more, please. No, may I have another. Right. Let's go to Mark in Jersey City. Hey, Mark.
Hi, Mark.
Yeah, I'm on.
Yeah, sure you are.
I definitely had a point for Mike. I didn't know Mike was leaving. I wanted to tell Mike, like, don't listen to the damn haters because it seemed like they're getting under his skin. And I want Mike to be around for a long time. But since he's not here, I'm going to pivot. Peter, and you're the young guy on the show. I was trying to get in for months to tell you this for months. You're the young guy on the show. You're supposed to tell them boys that Ja Morant is acting like that rapper NBA Youngboy. That's why he acts so weird. He wants to be a street dude for whatever reason. And then the rappers, they put their arm around him. They brought him out on shows. They gave him chains and stuff like that. Peter, you're the young guy. You're supposed to.
I think we said that he was clearly trying to be something that he's not. I wouldn't have made the actual direct NBA Youngboy comp on account of A, I don't pay that much attention to NBA Youngboy. I'm too old. And two, the irony of Ja Morant, who's actually an NBA Youngboy. You know what I mean?
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
The Point God.
You have made no good points, Peter.
You're so right, Michael.
I think you made some salient points.
Yeah, because you're an ass.
18 or 20 seconds between pitches. Tony, I'm sorry. Come back to me. That's not the reason that elbows are blowing out. Because in the old days, like Jim Cott, get the ball, throw the ball. Get the ball, throw the ball. Whitey Ford, get the ball, throw the ball. Walter Johnson, get the ball, throw the ball. That's not the reason. The only reason Tony Clark's saying that is because the pitchers don't like having to work with a pitch clock. So they're telling him, the head of the Players Association, you got to get rid of this. So he's trying to tie the injuries to the pitch clock. Don and Peter, that's not it. It's the overemphasis on, from the time they're kids now, in all the showcase games, throwing right, as hard as you possibly can. The body is not made to withstand that. It's not about pitch clocks.
How do you like that?
Okay.
Not all into right. it?
Not at all.
Really?
Very pedestrian opinion.
Wow.
No juice.
Really?
I'm only kidding. It was very good. Outstanding. He should be honored. Nobody could have done that like him. No one.
let's go to Drake in Poughkeepsie, or Poughkeepsie. Hey, Drake.
Hi, gentlemen. I just wanted to clear some things up about the whole eclipse talk as far as the hazards of looking at the eclipse. The issue here is the sun. It's hard to look at the sun, not the eclipse. I don't know if Donnie ever reckoned that if you look up 100 times during a baseball game, not during an eclipse.
Okay.
I've never had an issue with that.
Well, you don't think the sun rays are stronger during an eclipse?
What he's saying is that the eclipse itself, the moon eclipsing the sun, isn't what's dangerous. It's the sun. He was trying to be very...
Literal man?
Yeah.
Yeah, go.
Captain Literal Man moment.
All right.
I think
go back
it is
to your
time.
Porn.
Oh, my God. I do think it's time to never take a haiku call again. Where do you stand on it, Anthony?
That wasn't a haiku call, but I mean...
I'm aware. Thank you.
I don't know if we knew what the haiku was. I was very confused.
I am bad.
No, listen,
I'm bad
like Ken.
At both.
I will happily take Ken's calls, but he doesn't have to do haikus anymore.
No, we're not banning them from calling. We're done with the haikus. We're good.
Does anyone enjoy? Maybe run up the poll. Should we run up the poll? Do you remotely enjoy the haikus?
Well, here's what I'll say. Call the morning show.
So, by the way, this is our bad. We really blew it down. We asked for the haikus.
It's my fault. I'm going to take blame for this. You shouldn't have to, Peter. I think you were open-minded about it. I got a little aggressive. I started getting very competitive. You would choose a show. He was calling all the shows, and I felt like, you know what? No. Choose our show. And I got too caught up in that, not realizing that it's not really something I wanted. I just wanted to win. You know what I was, Peter? I was like that guy that calls to win a contest and I don't even know what they're giving away. I need to be better, and I apologize. It's my fault. Hopefully you'll forgive me, Peter.
I'm willing to forgive you. I hope the audience will as well. You can also vote, guys, down to the last 30 minutes. It's a blowout. But if you feel strongly about Griffin's,
you know what,
in serious trouble against Don's, cut his fat, you know what?
Things can change. I want selfishly. I want to get over 2,000 votes. Where we stand right now, vote wise?
Guys, will this change your opinion on the haiku? We just got a call to clarify that the plural of haiku is haiku, and stop saying haikus.
Oh, you know what? That confirms that. As a matter of fact, I'm going to apologize again. Because that
music,
that call doesn't happen if I just let it go last week. So I apologize for the haikus. I apologize for the haiku. I apologize for everything that it has to do with. So let's over 2,000 votes. We're at 1,899, so vote just for that.
I mean, or make all of those votes for Griffin, so this gets exciting. Imagine a comeback here down the stretch for the Griffin people. Can you imagine?
How about that? I dare you to do it.
Okay.
Let's go to Bear in Piscataway. Hey, Bear.
Hey, guys. I just have a punishment for you guys next year. I was going to say, individually, Peter... You might have to take a spoonful of whatever you feed Bear. Don,
okay,
you like punishment, so a little OC. And Michael has to eat a full roll of sushi with real raw fish or shrimp.
See, I like that. I don't. What's OC?
Oh, mace.
What was that he said,
Pepper
Peter?
Spray.
I didn't get it.
Pepper spray.
Mace?
Pepper spray.
That's strong.
Well, that's awful dangerous. I mean, it for the show, that's...
A little spray in the air, hit the forehead, But do it at the end of the show. Don't do it when you're...
We're going to affect the rest of the show. Absolutely. Now, Peter, why do I feel like you might feed Bear high-grade stuff that you may not mind taking a spoonful of? Because I think you treat Bear very well.
No, I would puke. I don't want to eat either the dry or wet food that we give Bear.
But you ate a cricket, for God's sakes.
Yeah, I still.
Really?
No. I mean, every once in a while he gets, Bear gets plenty of other snacks that are like, table scraps, but I don't want his food. Last call for the day. Let's go to Jonathan in L.A. Hi, guys.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
Hey, Don, Peter, it was a great WrestleMania. Me and my son, we enjoyed it. It was especially the main event. I mean,
everything was cool. But us being, you know, old school wrestling fans, don't you think there's only one person that should have just stopped The Rock right there? And that could have been Stone Cold Steve Austin. I think if that would have happened, the roof would have literally popped off. It popped off either way. But, I mean, I'm probably getting too greedy, but I want to see what you think, Peter.
You know what? Perfect segue, Jonathan. We'll hit that during ENN, which is coming up next right here on 98.7 ESPN. But before we even get to that, guys, I have a message brought to you by our friends at BetterHelp. All right, how's your social battery? I know for me this weekend, man, I had to recharge because it was not easy. It's not easy for anyone, man. So much work pressure, personal life pressure, and I had a weekend where I was combining all of it, right? You know, all these work people, plus with my family and friends, my agent, so much going on. You got to get some time to yourself. You got to make time for therapy. If you've been considering therapy, trying to work on that battery, or trying to work on prioritizing things in your life, bettering your coping skills or setting boundaries, just trying to be the best version of yourself. If you've been thinking about that, consider giving BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Peter today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp.com/Peter.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.